The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
We are at war. This is war. I want you to know it is war. I make no bones about the war that we are in. I want everyone to understand we are fighting battles. And there are skirmishes that go on constantly here and there and all over the place in our individual lives and in this church. War is at hand. I wanted to make absolutely sure in the beginning that we know we're at war. We have an enemy that is well organized, both in the spirit realm and in the physical realm. Believers must engage in the battle, is the third thing. Get yourself ready. Get in the battle. We're getting our children ready for the battle, because they're going to take up arms against the enemy. We have to be engaged in the battle. Believers must understand the enemy. We need to study and know how our enemy is working. We know that the Word of God says that his purpose is to steal, to kill, and destroy. Watch what he's doing. Anything that is being stolen, killed, and destroyed is the enemy. Satan and demons are real. Don't let the world teach you and say to you that this is a figment of somebody's imagination. The demons are just a metaphor for man's evil desires. It's not true. The demonic forces are alive and well. And they are trying to destroy people's lives. And in some cases, they are destroying Christians' lives because we're opening doors for them to come in. We're not taking a stand against them. Whoa, I know this is not popular preaching. You know what most people want to hear today from a pulpit is something that makes them feel good so they can go out the doors throughout the week and feel okay about the sin that they're involved in. I'm telling you, that's what's happening in our society right now. People want to feel good about themselves. And there's nothing wrong with us recognizing who we are in Christ. But we're not going to allow people to just wallow in sin and then feel okay about it. And I'm not condemning anybody here. I want the Spirit of God to minister life to you. I want you to rise above those things in your life. I'm trying to give you hope that you can be free in Jesus' name. But if I just try to tickle your ears and make you feel good, I'm not accomplishing the will of God. Our pulpits are silent about the war that we're involved in. Pastors are too afraid to speak about these things because they're afraid they're going to lose people. Well, you might lose some. But let me tell you, those who stick around will be warriors for Jesus Christ. Those who stick around will hear the truth and they'll get their lives in order. They'll pick up the sword, the Word of God, and they'll be able to go forth and dice up the enemy as they go throughout their life. They'll put on the whole armor of God. Those fiery darts of the enemy will be quenched with a shield of faith because they're hearing the truth. And the truth, according to the Word, will set you free. Amen. Yes. Praise God. Now, what I want to share with you this morning, I don't have much time. I'm going to do this as quickly as I can. But I want to talk to you this morning where I kind of left off last time, that believers must know the proper battle stance. We have to know that there is a position that we're supposed to take when it comes to battle against the enemy. How many have ever seen, particularly the Japanese battle stance, when they have those big swords, you know, and they get that special stance, you know, and when the enemy is coming at them, they're prepared. They're not just in a position, oh, well, when he comes, maybe I'll be able to stop. No, they know that they can stop that enemy that's coming at them. They have the right stance, the right position. They have positioned themselves properly. And there is a proper battle stance for believers. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians Colossians chapter 2, beginning with verse 6. It says this, Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Walk in Him. Walk in Him. Walk in Him. Wow. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophies and empty deceit according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of this world, and not according to Christ. For in Him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him who is the head of all principalities and powers. Over all principalities and powers. Christ is over all principalities and powers. Christ is over the demonic forces of hell. Christ is over Satan himself. Christ put them under His feet. The Word of God in Genesis said that the enemy was going to bruise the heel of Jesus, but Jesus was going to bruise and stomp on His head. Hallelujah. Prophetically uttered centuries before it ever happened. But we know today, because we live in the dispensation of the church, that it has been accomplished in Jesus' name. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18 and 19, Jesus is speaking to His disciples, and He's talking to Peter, and He says that, Peter, you're the rock. And then He goes on to say, and He uses a different Greek word here when He says this, on this rock. And He's talking about Himself. He's not talking about Peter. I'm going to build My church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, how many know that you are part of the church? Come on. Are you a part? If you're part of the body of Christ, you are a part of the church. The body of Christ then has the ability to overcome the gates of hell. The gates of hell shall not stop us. Let me tell you something. The gates of hell have tried to stop us. The gates of hell have come in this place. The gates of hell have tried to keep us, you individually in this church, from accomplishing the will of God. Whether you like it or not, the enemy has been in this place. And he comes in and out, trying his best to keep God's people from accomplishing their destiny in the Lord Jesus Christ. But when we know who we are in Christ, we can stand against those principalities and powers. We can stand against that magic and witchcraft and all the things that try to stop the body of Christ from moving forward. We will bring it down in the name of Jesus. Now, I know this is, for some people, this is crazy talk. Some people say, well, all that stuff is just a bunch of make-believe. You know, there are no witches, there are no demons, there's no magic, there's none of this stuff. You are being destroyed because you have a lack of knowledge. And you will be through those things. Because the opposition that is against us is real, and they know what they're doing, and they are organized in order to keep the church from accomplishing God's will. And Satan uses them. Luke chapter 10, verse 17 through 20. Real quick, we're going to move through these things as quickly as possible this morning. Luke chapter 10, beginning with verse 17. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in Your name. And He said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I gave you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice. Now listen. This is the same kind of authority and power that Jesus has given, delegated to the church. But He says this, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven, in the book of life. Hallelujah. That's where your name is written. Rejoice over that. Walk in the power and authority, but don't rejoice over the fact that you have power over demons. That's secondary to the fact that we are saved, born again, and receive the power of God in our life. That Jesus Christ died for our sins, and our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. However, he says, listen, he sent them out with power. Now listen to what he said after he did this, after he sent them forth. They went out casting out demons, healing people, doing all kinds of wonderful works. Listen to what Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 12. Verily, verily, I say to you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. Wow. Not only were they, you know, he gave them that authority while he walked on the earth, but then he says, you're going to do greater things. You're going to do greater works than I did when I walked on the face of the earth. And he wasn't just talking to his disciples, he was talking to his church that was going to be established on the rock, that was going to go forth and prevail over the gates of hell, that was going to accomplish the works of the kingdom work. One last scripture I'm going to share with you. Turn with me to Mark chapter 16. Now we're all probably pretty familiar with this scripture. Just want to nail this thing down this morning with this last scripture. Mark chapter 16, beginning with verse 15. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Now, let me ask you this. Do you believe? Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, if you believe, these signs will follow them that believe. If we believe. Now, I think this is twofold here. We not only believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but we got to believe that we receive power.
Amen, sir.
You know? Amen. It's all by faith. We walk by faith. We accept by faith. We live by faith every day of our life. So if we can't believe what Jesus said to us, if we let people explain it away and say all kinds of crazy things like, well, he didn't really mean what he said there. Really? Jesus didn't mean that he was going to leave and that he was going to delegate his power and authority to his people? Then why do we even believe in the first place? Because he made it very clear. These things are going to follow believers in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will not by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Praise God. Jesus said that to us. All of us who believe, these things can happen. We have to believe. We have to have faith. And I want to tell you something. I can't explain it all. I can't tell you why sometimes it seems like it happens and other times it doesn't. But it doesn't matter. It's not by my authority. It's by the authority of Almighty God and the power of the Holy Spirit. I can't explain what happened to you this morning when you walked in this place. There's no explanation for it. How did God orchestrate that whole thing for the worship team to be worshiping and things just explode? And people just start coming in and the power of God being released in people's lives. God orchestrated that. We didn't plan that. We didn't put it together.
That's right.
It was God.
Hallelujah.
And we have to approach the things of God that same way. Great expectation every time we pray for somebody.
Yes.
Great expectation.
Right.
And know that our God is real. And He's powerful. And He has said these things to us. and recognize that He's God. He's given it to us. Let me tell you something. The proper battle stance is not a battle stance of expecting victory. The proper battle stance is one of already achieved victory. Do you hear what I'm saying? You're going into this battle with a victory already secured in the name of Jesus Christ. Your victory has been secured. All you have to do is walk in it. All you have to do is receive it. All you have to do is accept it from the Lord Jesus Christ. Victory is yours. Victory has been given to you by the blood of Jesus. Jesus is the one that went into hell and took the keys from the kingdom. Keys of the kingdom back from the enemy. You know, and He's the one that delegated the keys to His people and give us authority over the principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this world. Hallelujah. Darkness of this world. They're alive and well, and they're working. If you think that there's not spiritual forces in this community that are leaving us alone, you are deceived. There are spiritual forces. There's witches, there's sorcerers, there's people, satanic involvement that are praying against this church. I have information that they've been in this church, that they've walked around this property and spoken evil incantations and prayers over us. Why? Why do they care about us? Because they know that there is power in this place. They know that the Word of God is going forth into people's lives. And when people receive the Word of God, it changes their life and it causes them to rise above the enemy's power over them. It causes them to recognize that they are no longer under the feet of the enemy. They do not have to be bound up with addiction and habits and all these things that are destroying people's lives. They're free in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
The power of God. That's why they care. They care because they don't want to see the power of God released. Let me share a couple things with you as I wrap this up this morning. I believe God has a specific call on this church. And we've got to be prepared for battle. I'm gonna go into much more detail about the types of occults and occult activity that God speaks in His Word against, and things that we need to stay away from. I'm going to talk about some modern things that are going on that people are accepting in their lives that's destroying people, that's hurting people, that's causing people to walk in ungodliness and they don't even realize it. And I want to prepare you for this because I want you to understand that I'm not condemning anybody. I'm not trying to bring fear. I'm not trying to bring any kind of condemnation upon anybody. But what I want to do is point out to you what the Word of God says about certain practice that He absolutely forbid His children to be involved with. And when you open the door, when you get involved with these things, guess what you're doing? You are opening the door to demons in your life. You don't want that. Now, I'm not telling you they're going to possess you, but I'm telling you, you open the door to the demonic realm and they can oppress your life. And listen, you may think I'm crazy, but I look around and I see hundreds and hundreds of Christians that are oppressed by the enemy. And locked up and bound up. Hallelujah. Well, let me share something to you that I hope will encourage you, this church. Hallelujah. You all know, or most of you know, that God spoke several years ago to this congregation through several people. A couple of the visions that was seen was the power of the Holy Spirit coming down like water and going out the doors. And I believe there was one of fire. But one in particular, one of the things in particular that God spoke to us was before this building was even built, he used Jim Osborne, who saw a vision of the light of God coming down on this property and then emanating out from this place before we even purchased it. Well, before we built the place, we'd purchased the property into a 50-mile radius. All right, I didn't make that up. I couldn't make up something like that. I'm just not that creative. I want you to understand that my mind doesn't work like that. However, God spoke that to us. And we've believed that is God's will for us to impact this area, this 50-mile radius, for many years now. And part of that is equipping the saints, preparing people's lives, and then looking for opportunities that God opens to us to be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ in this area, in that 50-mile radius. We do that through many local ministries that are touching and ministering. Good Works that's ministering to the homeless, and the Crisis Pregnancy Center that's ministering in Athens, a couple other ministries in this area. But we believe this is a calling that God has for us. Now, there's been some clarity brought to that as well in the last year, I guess, or maybe less. Now, I'm going to try to share what Mary Purtis shared with me this morning. Mary, are you in here, Mary? Where are you? She's still up there. Okay. So if I miss anything, you'll have to straighten me out later, and I'll straighten the congregation out. But basically, Mary received a dream. And her dream was that there was a large amount of people in this place. She was here, and most everybody that attends was here, along with a lot of other people. And the service ended. And after the service, they turned the lights off, and Mary saw writing on the wall, just writing here and there and just all over the place. Now, she didn't have a bad feeling about this writing. It was, it was a good thing. But she knew what it said at the time. And she told Mike Norman, she asked Mike Norman if he saw it, and he said no. This is all in the dream, remember? And he said no, and Mary told him what it said. So, but now she doesn't remember what it said. Mike, do you remember what she told you in the dream? Guess not. Yes, something I need to clarify. Color, purple? Okay, right. A purple color that defied description. Just beautiful, beautiful purple. Royal. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. Mary, I think she told you, Linda, right? That's the only person she told this dream to. And they were both praying about it. And then a few weeks ago, Linda shared this in her Bible study, Bait of Satan, which I've heard nothing but fantastic things about that study. People are loving it. The first lesson that you had, correct? She decided that she was going to share that with the group of people in there and just, see what their response was. And one of the ladies that does not attend this church said, I'd like to speak to that. And she did. She told Linda, now give me some direction here, Linda. She said that she felt that was God had ordained.
Given this church spiritual
authority. Okay, right. That's representation of spiritual authority for this area. Now, that's a heavy load, I got to tell you. And that doesn't mean that we're any better than anybody else. Because I believe there's other churches around our area that have the same spiritual authority. But God is saying to us that he has delegated that to us. What are we going to do with it? Are we going to use it? Are we going to walk in it? Are we going to teach and train people to walk in their rightful place in Jesus Christ? Because that's what spiritual authority is all about. So as God begins to make clear to us the things that he's been speaking over the years, we begin to realize that God has ordained this body to do a specific work and accomplish great things for his kingdom in this very area and beyond. And that we have been called individually, just, you know, speaking to this church. I believe we've been, the whole body of Christ is called. But we have been called individually to do something in this area for the kingdom of God and to lead spiritually. It really does line up with the desires that we have and we have had to work together with other churches and people in this area to accomplish the kingdom, not just individual church visions, to accomplish God's vision, to do God's work. So I want to just wanted to leave you with that this morning, that I believe that we are on the cutting edge of the kingdom of God. And being on the cutting edge, that means that you're on the front lines. And being on the front lines means that we've got to be ready. We've got to be prepared for this battle that we are in. You've got to be equipped, being equipped to do the work of the kingdom. Stand with me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I couldn't ask for a greater move of God this morning. We're expecting even greater things. You know, it's wonderful to feel the presence of God, but I believe God wants people healed. I believe God wants people set free. I believe God wants marriages healed and brought back together through His power, not by anything that we do. Yeah, we can minister and we should counsel people and help them and give them direction, but only the Holy Spirit can heal hearts that have been wounded and lives that have been shattered. Hallelujah. And I just thank God for the opportunity to be used to do just that. Amen. We're going to do it together. In Jesus' name, we're going to see the kingdom flourish. Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, I give you glory and honor. I thank you, Lord, for all these awesome things that you're doing in our midst. Lead me, direct me as the pastor of this church to humbly serve you. Touch the people. Touch us. Draw us together. Father God, this is a group of people that I believe love you. And they have a deep desire to serve you. They're good people with righteous hearts and desires to glorify you. We ask, Lord God, that you just guide and direct all of us. Direct us individually in our lives. Direct us corporately as a church. That, Father, your kingdom will be established in this place, in this area, and we'll just be a part of a renewal that takes place in this nation that will burst forth in the name of Jesus Christ. We need it, Lord. And we're looking to you for that to happen. So this morning, we just give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hi, this is Pastor Rob Barber. Thanks for listening to our message today. We're excited about what God's doing here at Bethel Worship Center and in the body of Christ at large in 2012. If you'd like to learn more about the ministries here at Bethel, please visit our website at www.bethelwc.org. God bless you and have a great day.